This is the Essential Cruise Tip Show, making it fun and easy to discover, plan, and enjoy unforgettable cruise vacations with tips and advice from me, Gary Bembridge, host of the largest cruise blogger channel on YouTube. Let's get going with today's episode. I'm on a cruise right now with many disappointed or frustrated passengers. Well, everything is going just really great for me with no unpleasant surprises, and it's all down to some checks I did in the weeks before the cruise. Welcome aboard. I'm Gary Bembridge, and I'm on a Holland America two-week cruise from Valparaiso, Chile, right the way through to Buenos Aires. And this is what I do in the weeks before every cruise that you should do too, starting with this one. On this cruise, there are incredible sights and things to do, but so many people are missing out because they didn't do this first check. They've missed out a stunning volcano at Lake Todos Santos Lake, the Petohue Falls, Falkland Penguins, a heritage train through Tierra del Fuego National Park in Ushuaia. I always check excursions as soon as the cruise line opens them, and again, a month before cruising. For this cruise, excursions opened about 100 days before the sailing, but on others like Region 7 Seas Japan cruise, it was 9 months before. Now, because most passengers wait until they're on board, I was able to get every excursion I wanted. I made a note, by the way, of the cancellation policy, which is actually 48 hours with no penalty before an excursion. So after going to the port talks on board, I actually cancelled one of them because I saw self-exploring would actually be better in one of the ports. And again, with no loss, I had every excursion I wanted. Now, doing the excursion check early also means that I know what I need to budget. Now, on this trip, excursions added $1,200 to my cruise. By checking early, I knew how much I needed. It gave me time to save up or to look at less costly alternatives with independent providers. But there's another check I recommend also doing at least a month before the cruise. On this trip, I keep seeing people having to fit their dining around other people's plans, not set their own agenda. Around 4 weeks before the cruise, I check and I make dining reservations. Now, on some lines, they're not on here. I can also book my anytime dining slots as well as specialty dining. By doing it, then I got the days and the times exactly that I wanted. If I'd waited until on board, I could see on the app that my favored times were actually already fully booked. Again, as there's no penalty for canceling, I could adjust during the cruise, which I actually did to join some people that I met on different days for dinner, for example. Now, on this cruise, the check-in was a bit chaotic, partly because the port agents were a bit disorganized, but I actually saw many guests were not ready either. Now let me talk about the checks and things that I do that made boarding so much smoother for me. First of all, I check if there is a cruise line app and I download it while on home Wi-Fi and I get familiar with it. On Holland America, their Navigator app is critical for boarding, and again, once you're on board, it's used to do the pre-boarding process like the check-in, the health screening questionnaire, adding your credit card. It then held my boarding passcode, which is scanned to enable faster boarding. Once on board, by the way, it has a daily program, it has my tour tickets, ability to book dining and excursions, check my onboard statement, chat with guest services, emergency contact details for the ship, and so on. But also for this trip, Holland America used the Verifly app, where I could upload the required vaccination proof and the COVID test that I needed for pre-screening. It then gave me a green good to cruise pass, so I could then use an express lane at check-in instead of lining up like many other people had to do to have all those things checked. So checking for the cruise line app and doing online check-in well before the trip is key. Now, as soon as check-in has been done online, the baggage tags are normally generated, so I print those out rather than wait until checking in at the port. I attach them before I get to the port. Now, this sped up my check-in because on this cruise, the baggage drop was some distance from the check-in area, and I saw people arriving without their baggage tags being printed and attached, and they had to wait in a line while someone had to find and confirm their cabin and manually prepare baggage tags. So that just makes life so much easier. I also saw some confusion at check-in and when I first was on board because people didn't follow my next check, which is to carefully read every single email that the line sends in the run-up to the cruise, even if they look repetitive. Now, on this trip, for example, there were many changes, which if I'd missed them, could have meant not making the cruise or being denied boarding. For example, the actual embarkation port that we were departing from changed from San Antonio to Valparaiso. They are really far apart, and arriving, of course, at the wrong one would have been pretty disastrous. Next, as I've mentioned, this cruise added specific requirements for vaccine booster, a COVID test within a set time period, and then a close to cruise rule that if I had been in China, it actually had to be a PCR test. Not having these would have meant denial of boarding. Also close to the cruise, they advised masks were going to be required for the first couple of days, so I could then make sure that I'd packed those that I like. An update also came with an allocated check-in time of 11 a.m. for me, which they were enforcing. So arriving at a different time would have meant hanging around if you had a later time, for example. So keep reading and carefully checking every single email update. On this cruise, some people getting stressed out because after handing in our passports, because the line retained them to handle the various immigration in the multiple countries we were going to, we were then told that the authorities in Chile and Argentina required us to have a copy of our passports and a copy of proof of vaccine when we were out in port. Now, many people didn't have that, but I have copies of everything. I create a folder for every cruise that has everything from leaving home to returning home. It means I have everything I may need to check along the way. Now, in this folder, I have copies of my passport, vaccination, COVID test, insurance, my booking confirmation, itinerary, transfers, excursions and flight confirmations, and emergency contacts of my travel agent. I also have a digital version stored in a Dropbox folder, which I set on my phone to be downloaded so it's on my phone even if I have no signal. I have really easy access in here to any document I could possibly need if anything goes wrong. And for checking, like if it happened on my last cruise, the transfer was not there at the airport. I could easily just open my folder, check, get their contact number, and sort it out. Another area I saw people stumbling over was cash and paying for things in port on this trip. Now, while on many itineraries, tourist places accept US dollars, this is still something I always check. I saw in Chile, Argentina, Uruguay, and even the Falklands, the US dollar was not as widely accepted, and nor were cards, and some cards weren't accepted. Local currency was required by many venues, traders, and by the taxis. However, knowing that I wouldn't need too much, just tips and souvenirs, for example, I didn't buy a lot of currency in advance because I checked if I could exchange money on board, and they said they would, and in small amounts. I could just change small amounts at a time. I also, though, checked I had US dollars in a range of bills because I like to use those for tipping and gratuities once I'm on board. It's also, by the way, worth letting your credit card company know that you will be traveling internationally. The other thing I've seen on this cruise is quite a few people being really unprepared, clothes and packing wise. It's been cold, wet and windy, and I've seen people in the onboard shop scrambling around trying to buy warmer or waterproof clothing. Before I go on a cruise, I check four things before I even start packing. First, I download a cruise packing list to remind me. I have one if you want that, by the way, but I also check online if someone has done one specific to the itinerary. Next, I check the latest on the dress code. On Holland America, I know although they have dressy nights, it's not particularly strongly adhered to, and I can get away with at most kind of a collared shirt and some smartish trousers. They also often have an orange themed night, so I brought something for that as well. Thirdly, I review my excursions to see if I need anything like hiking boots or other gear that I don't usually take with me. Then I put all the ports on my phone weather app to see what I need. It was clear when I looked at that temperatures would vary from really cold to really, really hot. So I needed layers, a waterproof outer layer, a warm hat, but I also needed swimming trunks. One other thing I check is, are there any first aid items I should stock up on? I've been really surprised how many people have not appreciated this itinerary has pretty rough seas. Even when we left Chile, it's been pretty bumpy. We went round the Cape Horn, which was bumpy. So many people hadn't brought, for example, seasickness options. On other trips, like my recent Galapagos trip, it was insect repellent and sunscreen that I needed. Now, I have a whole video about packing and things to think about. But checking well before you start actual packing is the key. Another key check is home arrangements. On this itinerary, I'm in remote places, and as always, I let friends and family know where I'm going and how to get hold of me. I check on the best way to do that. So for example, I found that my mobile phone plan only gave me roaming with no fees in Chile, but in none of the other countries, it was really expensive. And there's also many, many sea days on this trip. So I knew I would have my phone in airplane mode most of the trip. So I told my partner, sister, and friends that they must contact me through a chat like WhatsApp. I did, by the way, download Skype. I added credit to it so I can phone my mum. She only has a landline, but I can use Skype using Wi-Fi to phone her landline. Now on this trip, as I'm traveling solo, there are people at home, so I don't have to let the neighbors know to keep an eye on the house. They do have a set of keys. They know their alarm codes, though, if there are any issues. One other thing I did was the week before I go, I check the cruise critic roll call for the particular cruise. It's a great last minute catch up for anything that I've missed. So for example, on this trip, people that were already arriving in Chile warned that there were random COVID tests at the airport and you were quarantined if you failed it. So I was prepared for that, I knew how it worked, and so on. If you found this interesting and want to get more cruise tips, go to my Tips for Travelers YouTube channel for weekly videos, weekly live stream cruise Q&As, and quick 60-second cruise tips. There's a link in the show notes. But also, why not consider becoming a patron on Patreon to get additional patron-exclusive videos, ebooks, and one-to-one cruising advice? Visit patreon.com/tipsfortravelers, where travelers is spelled the UK way with two L's. Links also in the show notes.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.